Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place where everything related to Amazon FBA product level and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. Today, we have a very special guest. His name is Vikram Saxena, and he's the founder and principal consultant at Better Commerce, where essentially it's an all-in-one solution when it comes to creating cloud-based e-commerce solution for your business. And the reason why I wanted to bring Vikram to the podcast is because we, as Amazon sellers, Walmart sellers, and people that mainly specialize on marketplaces only, sometimes we want to create that omnichannel strategy going beyond these marketplaces. And sometimes we struggle, like, how do we personalize that experience? What does it look like creating, you know, my experience beyond the marketplaces that most people use on a traditional basis? And I'm sure today on this conversation, we're going to deep this conversation into that and, of course, bring you as much value as possible around this topic. So, Vikram, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much, Vincenzo. It's a pleasure to be here. I am doing pretty good. Thank you for that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you being here. We're actually in the same city in London, so I'm looking forward in the future to, of course, meet and have a cup of coffee. Beyond that, please tell us a little bit about yourself. I know when I was having a look at your background, you're such a serial entrepreneur. You have so much experience when it comes to e-commerce, and I'm sure you're going to add a ton of value to our audience today. So tell us a little bit about yourself, of course, the company Better Commerce, and let's go from there.
Sure. Thank you so much, Vincenzo, for this opportunity to share a little bit about us and me. So I am basically a self-taught programmer. Lost my bike got stolen with the insurance money. I bought a computer. And I picked up a book which was titled, you know, Learn Programming in 24 Hours. I spent 48 hours on that book from page one to page last. And I said, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And before that, until then, I had tried selling credit cards. I had done door-to-door marketing, quite a bit of things. All very disillusioned at the time, but thankfully I found what I wanted to do. From that point onwards, I worked with large corporates, small companies, software development, and lived in Germany for about 3 years, worked for a very large organization building their B2B commerce platform back in 2004, when it was actually larger than Amazon itself. So designing, building that solution for a company like Tech Data, you know, gave me a huge exposure, opportunity, and an understanding of, you know, how large-scale systems operate. That really helped me shape whatever I went on to build after that. 10 years into the corporate world, I quit, started my own IT services business, and then we were doing a lot of other technologies, e-com websites for different customers. Then we built a platform for Tech Data, which was basically a central digital world for a lot of software vendors. What that did was, so today, if you go to PC World or Perry's website, you would probably, and you want to buy, let's say, Office, Symantec, or Adobe, any softwares, you're basically using the platform that we built for Tech Data, which they offer to the likes of Curry's across globe in about 18 countries and Europe and everywhere else. And the idea was that at that point in time, we make an API call to the respective software vendor, bring the activation key, and deliver it to clients in the browser right away in real time. This was quite a huge shift compared to how things were done about 10 years ago. When you wanted to buy a software, you'd probably go to Curry's or PC World, pick up a box, which would have a key printed on paper and a DVD in there. So we built this solution, scaled it up really well. We still maintain it for Tech Data. And then we said, even if you could build a solution like this of this scale for somebody else, why not build something of our own when there was not too many options for mid-market businesses or retailers to go digital on their own? the typical options were if you wanted to go digital, and outside the marketplace world I'm talking about, not in the marketplaces. So if you wanted to go digital, you would probably look at solutions like, you know, Shopify, WooCommerce and the likes of those, which are really great to get started. But beyond certain point, it becomes very challenging if you do not have enough control and flexibility to do things.
Yeah.
And then you would have to look at upgrading or scaling up to the likes of Commerce Tools or Hybris or very large scale enterprise softwares, which tend to burn a huge hole in your pocket.
Expensive. Very expensive. You need to have,
you know, a huge army of developers and consultants to implement that and maintain it, and a life cycle of about 18 to 24 months to do anything. So we wanted to do something, bring that enterprise grade quality and capability at the budget, which would not burn your pocket.
Yeah.
And that is how and why we started Better Commerce.
Love it. What a story. And what I love about your story as well is that, because I have met with our founders and people also been trying to create this omnichannel experience for e-commerce companies, but the fact that sometimes they lack the technicality knowledge in terms of, you know, how an API works, how the actual programming behind this looks like, sometimes they are not able to go as deep as they need to actually come up with the mindset in terms of, okay, this is what actually sellers are struggling on a daily basis. How I translate that on a technical point of view to then provide this as a feature in the first place. And that's something I actually saw across your company. You go very deep into issues that sometimes if you're not very technical, you can easily miss, and that's where the value is with Better Commerce, right? Now, I want to start touching on one of the first topic, which is being omnichannel, right? Better Commerce is all about that. Be able to, on a single platform, be able to have these experiences across multiple channels, and at the same time, as I briefly said at the beginning, personalize those experiences, right? So I guess let's start with that in terms of, from your point of view, why is important in 2024 to go omnichannel, right? In terms of as an e-commerce business, trying to divert the awareness of your brand and the catalog exposure to multiple channels, essentially.
See, I think omnichannel is going to be very huge. And I think one single channel oriented businesses will struggle in the long term, you know. So if you look at marketplaces, it's great to get started with marketplaces and you're having your own basic website. And but beyond certain point, you want to, because if you're operating only on marketplaces, you almost have no information about your customer. Exactly. There is almost zero customer intelligence that you have, besides how many units you are selling. That's it.
Yeah.
You have
You don't own the data. You don't have their emails. You don't know anything about them.
Anything about the customer. So basically, you can't do any marketing, and you are entirely dependent upon the marketplace that is doing that. Whereas, you know, and unless and until you own the customer, you can't customize or build a loyalty with them.
Yeah.
You know, if your product is a very generic product of which, you know, people really don't care. For example, you know, a bulb, an electrical fitting in your house, nobody really cares, you know, what bulb you put as long as it serves enough wattage, right? So nobody really cares. You just order it from anywhere. Things there are that you don't really care about, but then there are things that you really care about.
Yeah.
And if you are selling one of those things and you don't have brand loyalty, you will very easily lose. And worse, even that marketplace can cannibalize and make a cheaper version of your product and start selling that above your product in that same listing page.
Yeah, you're doomed. I know. It's huge. Right? It's huge. And this is something, unfortunately, it's good that you mentioned the last point, which is this marketplace, specifically Amazon, sometimes when they find a successful product, they might launch it as Amazon Basics. And effectively now you went from being the dominant seller on that category to not being anymore, because they're going to be sometimes 40, 50% cheaper. They're going to have the premium placement, and it's difficult for you as a small, medium business to be able to compete with these titans, right? And lacking the data and really the understanding of what your customer looks like, which they actually have, but they don't share with you, is a tough game, right? Now, talking about omnichannel, right? Of course, we understand that we need to start spreading our wings, because at the same time, that is what is going to allow us to not have all our eggs in the same basket and be able to have some kind of diversification and protection to our business. But sometimes the conversation shifts to, that, you know, it can be expensive, but being expensive is difficult to personalize and maintain the same level of experience to my consumer across multiple markets all at once. And I guess that's what you guys are trying to do with Better Commerce, try to reduce those fees as much as possible while be able to personalize the experience and keep it consistent across the board. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what are some of the strategies you recommend to be able to achieve that, you know?
Yes. So omnichannel on the face of it sometimes looks very daunting and very expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, now if you look at it, what exactly is omnichannel? Being able to sell in your store, being able to sell online, being able to sell in marketplaces, and being able to sell on your mobile app, and at the same time offer a consistent experience to the customers across the board on all three channels. A lot of times you come across businesses, they would run some promotions only on mobile, and sometimes it is okay to, you know, promote a specific channel, but otherwise, you know, customers would get really, you know, cheesed off. You are offering, then they would stop coming to the store. So you say that this promotion is only available in store but not on mobile, and this promotion is only available on mobile, not in store, or the content on store or mobile is different, that makes the customer take off a little bit. And if you really look at it, you know, we are always looking at it from a seller's journey, which is the brand, but we tend to ignore or overlook the customer's buying journey. Customer does not differentiate between the channels. You know, when you are moving, you would probably look at a website on your mobile phone, but when you get to the office, you'll probably open up the website on your laptop or desktop, which is a different resolution and a different experience. And if you're in the chain or in a high street or in a mall, you'd probably go to their store. So customer really doesn't differentiate. You know, he likes a t-shirt, he bookmarked it, goes to desktop, checks more details, then happens to go to a store and checks out the fabric and everything. And if you know all of this about them, then you can start to do and engage with them in a non-creepy way, which is a very critical point.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of times when you have data, you don't want to start sounding creepy that the customer gets, oh, he knows that much about me. No, I don't want that to be.
That you follow them even every single way they go, you know, every single move. And that sometimes actually makes you feel a bit afraid to interact any further, because you just feel these guys are just having all the information about yourself. Yeah,
exactly. So, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you might have experienced that, you know, you were talking about something with your wife and then just suddenly after an hour, ad on that same product shows up on your Facebook or Instagram, right? Yeah. Which is very scary. It is creepy. Yeah. So you should start personalizing and engaging with the customers a bit more. Okay, last time, 3 months ago, you bought this fragrance from us, and now we have a promotion running on this fragrance for you. And we are happy to offer this to you because we see that you are a premium customer for us, and you can do all of that only when you know enough about them and you start building your customer interactions around that in a non-creepy way.
Yeah. I think another thing that you are mentioning here, which is very important, is the product information management, centralizing all of that, which I saw is one of the big things you guys focus on Better Commerce. And I feel from experience, even myself, talking to clients, is something that people is not doing efficiently. And that's what sometimes is affecting the success you may have when going omnichannel. Because I have seen so many times a brand has a set of images on Amazon, but then you go to the website, they have other images, they have a pricing in Walmart, but then the price is different in store. And then you go to, Facebook, and they have a different tonality than the one they have on Instagram. It's a mess. They don't have a real identity as a brand when it comes to really becoming omnichannel a brand. So I guess out of curiosity, when you see brands doing the shift to omnichannel, what is some of the steps they have to do to define the product information management, like the identity of the product? Is this something that you feel people figure out along the way while they're doing the expansion, or this is a must-have before you even deploy a omnichannel strategy to make sure you keep consistency and have the best conversion possible on all these other channels effectively? Yeah,
I think standardizing your product information is anyways a must-have before you do anything. Of course, it's a prerequisite for going omnichannel, because you don't want to be sharing different imagery and different product content or description across different channels, because people will not be able to relate. The The whole idea of omnichannel is the repetition and iterative nature of pushing a similar message in a very subtle way to the customer. Mm-hmm. And if it is not coming across consistently, there is no connection. Yeah. And you lose the whole purpose of all your omnichannel efforts and investment.
Yeah. Yeah. So because at the end of the day, omnichannel, and this is something that people don't understand, it just offering the same experience just in a different channel. That's it. But it has to be the same experience if in a store or on Amazon or your website, it has to be extending. It's just the convenience that you have options where you can shop my product from. That's it. Yeah.
Exactly. Perfect. That is what it should be about. And the product data has to be centralized. And what a lot of times what we found is even loads of large businesses, they are operating their product data out of spreadsheets. So there's one team which is putting that spreadsheet into, let's say, online stores. There's another team which is putting information into their physical stores, and mobile app content is maintained separately. And that is where it becomes a nightmare, a completely broken experience across the board.
Yeah.
So this is where PIM comes in very handy, and it almost becomes very important, especially for a multi-category business. When your different categories will have different set of data that you want to be, because the only way to build your own brand and customer loyalty is offer enhanced experience in terms of product data to the customers.
Yeah, super important. Now, another thing I want to discuss with you is when a brand decides, and this is the reason why I make this question is because I'm sure the ones watching and listening are going to ask this question, is when I make the decision to go omnichannel, how do you come about choosing what are the right channels to get started with? Because let's be honest, there are so many channels out there, right? Beyond the traditional ones, there are hundreds of them. And sometimes can be overwhelming that say, oh, I need to attack all of these at once, because sometimes, first of all, you don't have the bandwidth to cope with all of that. And second of all, sometimes you don't even have the experience to figure out which are going to be the ones that actually resemble with the avatar that potentially is going to be present on those marketplaces, and therefore have a bigger chance for your brand to convert on those channels in the first place. So how you come across the decision-making process to say, okay, these are some of the channels that have to be part of my omnichannel strategy?
Yeah. So if you look at it, you know, there are three biggest channels that I look at it, and everything else then falls into the other channels, mm-hmm. depending upon the business and the product line that you are in. And mm-hmm. three biggest, if you are into retail, then of course the physical stores to build that experience and trust in the eyes of the customers. Second is, of course, your own website. And third is the marketplaces.
Nice.
Then these three typically would be quite prominent in the critical ones. A lot of businesses may or may not trade on the marketplaces because they want to maintain certain level of premium elevation in terms of the customer's eye. So they would probably not trade. There are loads of businesses which don't trade on marketplaces. So from that perspective, those two channels, of course, are the most critical ones that pretty much every retail business would do. Beyond that, so for example, let's look at mobile app. Should you be building a mobile app and selling through mobile app, or should you have a mobile specific website? Now, mobile app, how many mobile app is a customer going to download and install? You have to think about it.
Yeah. It's true.
There is only enough space, and how much usage is actually going to be, and what is the extra value that your mobile app will do?
Yeah.
If I interact with 20 brands, I am not going to download, you know, 20 apps for each brand.
And the worst thing, to be honest, is that most of these apps, and I agree with you, every single now brand that is becoming mainstream, like Shane and all these kind of category brands, they're having their own apps. But the reality is most of these apps are of a very bad. They are not efficient. They're very slow. The interface is not the best. So, I mean, what's the point of downloading the app if you're not going to give me a good experience anyway, you know?
So. Exactly. So app should go beyond a transactional value, and it should offer something of value to the customer. So you have to think hard whether this app is actually going to add something beyond what you do from your website perspective. You know, for example, is the app giving you some kind of, let's say, a localized or a geo-specific access capability that if you are in this location, app is going to trigger, you know, there's something available for you here. So there has to be a value add for each channel. Plus, you have to identify where your customers are mostly interacting. I think those are the two biggest factors that should drive your channel decisions.
Yes. Now, another thing I wanted to also bring to the table is Of course, we're already talking about the omnichannel strategy and why it's important for brands specifically that only focus on marketplace such as Amazon and Walmart to bring on board, and what are some of the considerations for that. But at the same time, I want to bring to the conversation a little bit the technical technology side of things, like working with APIs and all of that. I know for a fact that for a lot of people, this can be also very complex thing to get their head around, because if you're a person that don't come from a technical background or programming, like as soon as you hear API, some people don't even know what API means, right? So I guess what I'm trying to say with this next question is how you recommend usually people when they go into this journey to figure out all these things. Like, do you feel the best approach is using solutions where everything is centralized? Or are there some recommendations out there in terms of resources that you would like to mention? Because if I'm honest with you, I can see people struggling when they come across all this technology that sometimes has to be integrated to really provide and come up with the proper omnichannel strategy, you know?
Yeah, so what we've seen is there are different kinds of, and everybody has their own requirements. Mm-hmm. Now, in what scenarios a all-in-one solution would work, and in what scenarios should people go about a best of breed kind of an approach where, you know, they will evaluate and do a lot of technical stuff on their own. Now, if you have tons of millions of dollars or pounds to spend, hire a big technology team, build everything on your own, pick up the best of the breed from the market, mm-hmm. and then go ahead with that. If you've just started off, pick up a software, you know, an e-com platform off the shelf, which pretty much has a huge ecosystem. And as you go along, learn the tricks of the trade and learn which apps are suitable for you or not. But what happens with this approach is as you scale up, you end up installing more than 40 to 50 apps.
Yeah.
And a lot of times these apps may or may not interact with each other that well. Or an upgrade from one app is potentially going to break. Now, what you end up with is trying to pull data from those 50 different apps and trying to make sense of it. Again, you are almost lost. So this is where a lot of times a solution which brings an end-to-end composable capability and gives you one view of your business from a product, customer, order perspective is very beneficial. If you don't want to be constantly, you know, struggling with the technology, you don't want to be constantly investing in a lot of or hire a big technology team, that is when a solution like this, which offers an end-to-end commerce stack, works better for you.
Yes, of course. Yeah, because I feel, and that's true, there's also so many shiny objects, if I'm honest with you, especially in platforms such as Shopify. There's thousands of apps. They all promise to boost your conversion, your traffic, exactly. Loading times and everything. And sometimes these apps do more harm than actually help you, because sometimes they conflict among themselves and everything. So I agree. It's very important to start slow, like very simplistic approach. And then if you have the money, of course, go enterprise level. Otherwise, yes. Just try to use all-in-one solution that is basically the same family of APIs rather than multiple companies trying to pull the data all at once. Now, talking about data, I feel the other issue with omnichannel is be able to measure success, because a lot of people got so many channels at once and they don't have the mindset of being very proactive with the approach. And what do I mean by this? I feel, and maybe you can help me out with this, when you go omnichannel and you start testing so many channels and so many ways of basically getting exposure, if you're not very proactive in terms of design, okay, this is not working, I need to kill it and jump to this other marketplace and all of that, you can end up losing money very fast, because effectively you are spreading yourself too thin. And if you don't make decisions fast enough, you can struggle. Now, that at the same time comes combined with the fact that you need data to make that decision making. You need a retail analytics in terms of a dashboard that tells you, okay, what is happening on each channel, where is my ROAS going, where is my spend going. So tell us a little bit about how you recommend usually e-commerce founders to a high level, of course, come up with an approach where they can make fast decisions about based on data, which marketplace and which marketplace doesn't work in terms of the omnichannel approach. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think, Vincenzo, in today's day and age, you know, when ChatGPT has almost become a norm and a standard, it's just like everybody used to use Office. Now everybody uses ChatGPT, right? So in today's day and age, I think the problem of finding the answers is gone. You have answers to anything and everything. The biggest problem now is asking the right questions.
Exactly.
you know, and you just have to start applying the context of your business, pull the right data, maybe go into ChatGPT and start comparing which channel is performing better on a regular basis. Or look at the AI tools, which will do this analysis for you and bring you a comprehensive report on a periodical basis. Now, this is where it gets a little tricky, because AI tools, there are loads of them now. If you look up AI, there is probably hundreds and thousands of AI tools. Just like back in 2000, there was everything was .com. Today, everything is AI.
Yeah.
So you have to, you know, go through it a little bit again with cautiously. But ChatGPT is a very reliable source where you can potentially go in, feed in some sample data of yours and ask them, analyze these sales for myself and tell me which channel is working better. But the most important thing is collecting that data across all channels. A lot of times people end up not collecting the data. And as they say, you know, garbage in, garbage out. If your data in is not of good quality, you're not going to get any good output out of that data.
Yes, so I agree. Yeah.
Validate that's the data that when you're capturing it.
Yeah, I think, and that's why I feel a lot of people don't believe in omnichannel, is because every single time I ask this question, okay, it didn't work out for you, but let me see the data. Where does the data say it didn't work? Oh, no, it just, I didn't get sales. Okay, but you know, data goes beyond that. It goes impression, clicks, conversion rate, a bounce back, load, so many things. And people don't know this data. And that's where they just make the simple decision. Oh, it didn't work out. I just go to my comfortable approach of only being on a single channel like Amazon, and then they struggle down the line because of the things we mentioned at the beginning. So, you know, it's a vicious cycle. Now, being said that we have discussed so far what omnichannel is and what is important, we have discussed the importance of course, centralizing and making sure the information around your process is consistent across the board. We also talk about the technological self things and data. What would you say is the last point that you feel will bring all this to a closure in terms of importance of the omnichannel approach and really being present across multiple channels that you would like to add to this conversation?
I think one big thing that I would like to add in there is that the context is the king. A lot of times people say content is king, but one strategy or one channel strategy work with other business does not mean it will necessarily work for you. So evaluate everything in the context of your own business. Collect data and do a little bit of a data-driven decisions, like you said, rather than just being on an emotional feel, okay, it did not drive enough sales, so I'm not going to do it. So contextualizing every element and every input is very important to your business. Just because it worked for your friend does not necessarily mean it will not work for you, or it will work for you, either which way. So putting everything in the right context is very important.
Cool. Very important indeed, because and what you said there, it happens so often. People just start repeating things. And this happens across the whole community as a whole. One person says something, a bad experience they had about something, and now people assume that's the baseline across the board, and they just get brainwashed and don't try nothing new, and they just don't think outside the box. So it's cool that you bring that forward and make the emphasis, because I feel this is something people need to hear more often and figure out that, you know, sometimes you have to try things on your own and figure out that sometimes what didn't work for your friend is definitely could be the game changer approach for your business. So Vikram, I think it's been a pleasure to have you on board. I know this goes so much deeper. There's so much technicality and amazing things we can keep discussing, but I want to use the last few minutes so you can tell us a little bit more how people can reach out to you, and also how people can, you know, work with Better Commerce and go from there to basically leverage the omnichannel strategy.
Yeah, so they can reach out to us on our website, bettercommerce.io. They can reach out to me directly on LinkedIn, and they can also reach out to me via email, letstalk@bettercommerce.io as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. And for those hearing and watching this episode, make sure you check the notes where you're going to find all the information in terms of how you can get in touch with Vikram and Better Commerce. Other than that, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time, and I can't wait to... So meet you soon in London and have a nice catch up.
Yeah, meet up for a cup of coffee. Yeah,
let's do it. Have a nice one. Take care. Bye.
Perfect. Thank you. Bye bye.
thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.